just to help you maybe feel a little bit more comfortable, it's not like I'm a professional doing this. Most of my life, as Sam said, I worked as a corporate accountant for a Fortune 500 oil and gas company in Los Angeles. And I can prophesy. I know that's kind of a juxtaposition for a lot of people, corporate accountant, prophecy, you know, but you can all prophesy, even accountants. And I share that just because I want you to know it isn't something special because I stand up here. I'll share more on Sunday, but I didn't have anybody give me a prophetic word about prophecy. I didn't have somebody come and tell me, you've got this gift or anything. Here's how I started. I read the book. I read the verse he quoted. He said, you desire spiritual gifts. Okay, God, I want them. And then he said, especially prophecy. Well, I may be an accountant, but I'm not stupid. If he says, this one especially, that's what I'm going for. And honestly, truly, that's how I started prophesying. And God's been fortunate to look on me with kindness. I probably prophesied to, I don't know, 10 or 1,000 people or more in my life on multiple continents. Just a guy who happened to believe God that would say, if you really desire this gift and you really go for it, you can do it too. Thanks again, Sam, for trusting me with your people. I know you do, but I always count it an honor because you've done such a good job with so many people here, and to trust me with them, I'm really, really touched with that. So this week, gift of prophecy. God, thank you so much for your word that helps us to know where to go. Even when we don't know where to go, you tell us. And God, I thank you for this church that says we're going after this thing because we are to desire spiritual gifts. And God, I thank you that you're going to answer the prayers and the cries of each person's heart that says, this stuff's for you. Amen. One little quick provision, if you will. I'm not going to talk much about love today, but everything we do, every spiritual gift has to be founded and based out of love. Otherwise, we're just trying to show off, and it really looks bad when Christians are trying to show off and look really good. Heaven's kind of going, nah, I don't think so. So even though I'm not talking about it, remember, when we're sharing, when we're modeling it and doing all this stuff, it's about love for the person and love because we get to serve God. So just keep that in mind. On Sunday, I'm actually going to teach what prophecy is and how it works. Tonight, and the reason is because that's the Sunday sermon, and I watched last week, and I said, okay, I got to set this thing all up. It looks just like the way it was modeled. So tonight I'm going to talk about hearing from God. Now, in this church, again, I would anticipate you all have heard stuff about it, but most people tend to struggle just a little bit more. And so I want to talk a little bit more about it, and then we'll show you a little bit how it works. Because it's always more fun to see it than have somebody talk at you about it. Yeah? And Jesus' model was, okay, boys, here's how you do it. Now you come do it with me, which is what's probably going to happen after most of the services. I'm not going to prophesy over all of you, just so you know. But this time, because we're equipping the church to really do this in a lot of different places, there's going to be other people up here who are prophesying, and I'm going to be walking between them, just talking to them about it, helping them, encouraging them with that stuff. So it's not about getting a word from me. I can screw it up as good as anybody. I may even tell a couple of the worst stories, just so you know, hey, everybody can really blow this thing big time. It's about all of us doing it. I'm going to teach about it on Sunday, but 1 Corinthians 14:3, I'm going to use it a little bit later. So 1 Corinthians 14:3 talks about the definition of prophecy. The one who prophesies speaks to people. Oh, by the way, I have to say this, a little apologetic or something. The verses you're looking at come from the New International Version. I understand that's an anathema to this church. However, what Pastor Sam is said is right. If you intend to look into the verses, you want a different version. I do this because most people in our church, there's a lot of newer people. We've had, in a relatively small church, we've had, 15 or 16 people accept Jesus in the last 3 months. They're new at this stuff. If you want to study it, you want to get something like the New American Standard. I have a parallel Bible in my software. That's the first one that I look at. I have it connected to a Greek and Hebrew dictionary. That's the one it's connected to. So if you want to study things and get in depth, by all means, do exactly what he said. Read it in whatever will motivate you to read more. But if you want to study, you want to go there too. But since we're just chatting tonight, this is NIV. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Basically, prophecy is nice things from God. That's the deep theology, right? Prophecy is nice things from God. If you cannot remember anything else from tonight, I would like you to take that home. Because when you're in your house churches or when you're at work or whatever and you get a prophetic word to be able to share with somebody, it's going to be nice. That would have been a really good time for somebody to say like amen or hallelujah or way to go, Rob, or that was a good thing, something like that. You know, because if you don't respond once in a while, then I'm not sure you're listening. I might have to repeat it, and then this whole time thing is going to get all screwed up. Tonight I'm going to teach about hearing from God. It may or may not surprise you. I don't know. If you want to effectively prophesy to people, you have to hear God's voice. Hello? If you want to prophesy effectively, you better hear God's voice. Because if he's saying, you go tell this person, here's what I want them to know, and you can't hear, it isn't going to work very well. See, God wants to have a meaningful relationship with all of us. Part of the overflow of that meaningful relationship is that we can share that with other people. We learn how to prophesy here, but prophecy doesn't end here. I don't remember all the stories I got that I'm going to share as illustrations, but I think every story I've got as an illustration happened outside of a church. I'm like a really bad evangelist, okay? You know, on the scale when they do spiritual gift tests, like, I score like, 0.1 for evangelism. The only way I evangelize is if God tells me to tell this person something. I mean, that's it for me. If it's like going up and saying, hey, would you like to know Jesus? I'm going, no, excuse me, I'm going the other direction. I am so bad at that gift. When I was in high school, you guys will love this. When I was in high school, we had the thing like, okay, we're going to go out and do evangelism tonight. My parents made me come to church because I had to go to church about 3 times a week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Friday night. We were in church all the time. Going to go out and evangelize. Gave me the tracts, said, go down, give them all out. When you come back, you don't come back until they're not. I went down to the ice cream place. I took all 20 of my tracts, fired them in the garbage can, went back and lied about it and said I gave them all out. That's how I evangelize if God doesn't talk to me. But I've seen people get healed in coffee shops. I've seen people accept Jesus. I got a story. Bakeries are really a good place to get people saved. Probably because I'm feeling so good because I'm eating baked goods. But whatever the reason, it really works good. But I do it because God says, here's what, tell them this and it's going to work. That's how I do evangelism. Most Christians have problems with having a functional relationship with Jesus because they don't know how to hear God's voice. If your quiet time exists solely to read five chapters in, what is the thing? Oh, you read a psalm and 5 Proverbs or 5 Proverbs and a psalm or something. I don't know what it is. But you get your little book out and read it. You say your prayers. You go down your list. Pray this. Bless God, Mom. Bless God, whoever you're praying for. Kids, dogs, cats, your boss that he would move or whatever. If that's the extent of your quiet time, you will not keep it up because it's boring. It's not relational, and it's not connecting. Time with God becomes fun when you have a two-way dialogue. I mean, who wants to go for coffee and the other person just talks at you? I mean, God's got to be going up there going, oh, please, just something different. I heard that yesterday. I'm working on it. You got something new. There's two questions. One of them people don't know a lot that it's actually a question, but it's one that comes up a lot when you start dialoguing with people, is what does God sound like? Anybody ask that question? Okay, we're just going to practice this just because. Everybody do this. Okay, and there's like three people that go, I'm not putting my hand up for nothing. It doesn't matter what's going to happen. I'm not putting my hand up. It is not going to happen. Look, if I get a word from you, I don't need your hand up. I can get it anyway. I can find you in the back or I can find you in the front because, see, God knows all these things. Just saying. What does God sound like when we have a dialogue with him? Whether it's we're having quiet time at home or we're having, hey, I want to, you know, be able to pray and bless this person or whatever. I want to suggest to you that the vast majority of the time, God sounds like you. And that can be disappointing for some people. You know, we're wanting, you know, we want, you know, the booming, this is God, you know, kind of a thing. You know, okay, now I'm ready to go, I got it, you know, but that isn't how it happens most of the time. God sounds like you. You go, okay, God, bless, 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 love, 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 all that. What would you like to say to me? The next thing you think in here is going to sound like you. It's not going to be a different voice. And it'll help you to remember that because you're kind of a lot of times hunting for something that sounds different. God sounds like you. Now, the content might be different, but it sounds like you. And I really want to encourage you to not overlook that. Because the more comfortable you get with the idea of, okay, God, what would you like to say to me today? I was sharing with somebody in the lobby that I went through a season when Mary was just in the hospital again and all this kind of stuff, and I'm driving there and I was really, really not doing very well. And God said, could I interrupt for a minute? In my head, and it sounded just like me, and I'm going, okay, is that me or is it, you know, because it's like morning and I'm not a morning person. I'd rather meet at 11:30 at night than 11:30 in the morning. I do night. Sister, yes, when are we going? I think they let me out at about 10:30. I'm going to this thing and I go, oh, God, really? Can you say, I just need you to say something. I'm really not doing good. And he says, I got something new for you today. And it sounded just like my thought. You know the verse that says he's new every morning? God said to me, I'm going to be new to you in a way you can discernibly recognize it for the next 2 weeks. She was supposed to get out in 2 weeks. So every day, driving to the hospital, I go, okay, God, how do you want to be new to me today? And in the same voice that it sounds like me talking in my head, he responded back. I want to encourage you to keep that in mind because sometimes, especially when we get desperate, it's like, is that really me? When you start to prophesy, there's going to be times, oh, I just got this thought, but it sounds like me, and it might be me, and all this kind of stuff. It sounds like you when God talks, most of the time. So if you can keep that in mind, that's going to help you a bunch. But you'll start to recognize qualitative differences. When God talks to me, it sounds way smarter than when I talk to me. It's wiser. It makes more sense. It fits with what's going on with me better, but it's the same sound. Now, in John chapter 10, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Oh, yeah, we got overheads and everything. That's right. John chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And this last phrase, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. You can learn God's voice in here that sounds like you, but it's different. Because Moms, you can hear 50 kids cry, and then your kid cries, and you know which one's yours. God knows your voice, and we can know his. It isn't a guessing game. I'm not going up here, who was that? Was that me or you or something? Yeah, I'm pretty much, yep, that's a God thing. You can learn it. Thank you. Can I take you with me where I go? Can I borrow your wife when you go to bed and we can go out and like have a cup of coffee? I would not lose them. The question everybody asks, and I'm going to land on this for a little while, because it's the one that probably defeats more people, causes more people struggle than anything else, hearing God's voice, whether it's for you or if you're going to prophesy. And you've all asked this question. How do I know the voice that I just heard in my head is God? God, what do you want to say to me? And you get a thought, and the question that comes up is, how do I know it's God? Yep. How do I know it's God? You want to know the answer?
Yes.
The short answer is, you don't. Somebody just started melting over there in the corner, like, oh, God. You asked me a question, how do you know that it's God? And my answer for you is, you don't. But that's not the end of the question. I've got a follow-up. What that question usually means is not, how do you know it's God? What it generally means is, I want to guarantee it's God. Hello? It isn't so much, is it God or not? It's like, how do I really know? I want a guarantee, because I don't want to look like an idiot going out here and saying, hey, God says this, and God goes, I didn't say that. And you feel like an idiot when that happens, or at least I do. I know you're not, that's probably not a politically correct word anymore. But you know what? I'm 65 this year. I'm blaming everything on turning 65. I get a hall pass for an entire year. If I forget your name, hey, I knew it last year, but I forgot this year. I'm just really sorry. If I show up at the wrong place at the wrong time, I'm 65, I just can't keep this all straight. So as far as I'm concerned, I have a hall pass the whole year. It's just, you know, thank you. That was not my wife's response when I told her I was going to have it as a hall pass. But then she turned 65 a week after me, and she said, I'm going to use that too. So we sit around not knowing what each other's doing very well. We say, how do you know it's God? And you don't. There is no guarantee. Hebrews 11:6, you've probably read this time or two. It says, without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Without faith, it is impossible. So there's an element of hearing God's voice that requires faith. And faith doesn't give you a written guarantee. Y'all hear that?
Yes.
Faith does not give you a written guarantee. The component of faith says, I'm required to trust somebody. I'm going to trust that voice that I recognize in my head as being God. That's the real deal. So what is faith? Okay, y'all are going to quote me Hebrews 11:1, because everybody quotes Hebrews 11:1 when they say, what's faith? Now, faith is a confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. Nobody knows what that really means and looks like. How many house church leaders are here? If you're really stuck some night, make that the discussion question. Figure out how to say in regular English that's understandable to people who do not go to church what that verse means. You're done for the night. They'll talk for a long time. Because we don't know what that means. I'll leave that for another sermon for someone else. But what faith, as it applies to hearing God's voice, means, I trust this voice that it's God. That's what faith is. That thing that says, God, what do you want to say to this person? And it shows up here. Faith says, I trust this voice because I'm a sheep and I know his voice. You with me? How do you know it's God? Well, don't forget the second part of this verse. Verse 6, the second part says, he rewards those who earnest or diligently seek him. If you're going to become men and women who are prophetic, give prophetic words, share God's heart with people, God says, I will reward that diligence to search it out. How bad do you want it? A number of you, it's so good to see some of the people I've known since, what did we decide it was? Was it 2013? 2004? What did we decide? 2004, is that what we're voting on? Okay. Some of us are getting to the place where we need to exercise a little bit more, eat a little bit better, take a little bit better care of ourselves. Have you noticed, if you're even trying to get in shape and you're a little bit younger, you have to be intentional, you have to be diligent, you have to be committed to the process. I found to my great dismay that going to the gym for 1 week did nothing to help me. It made it worse. I had muscles that I hadn't used all of a sudden were painful because I was using muscles. Like, what? I didn't even know I had these things. If you are diligent, he will reward you. If you're seeking after becoming a prophetic voice, he will show up. But he's not going to show up because you decided some Sunday, hey, God, if you've got something for me, you know, lay it on me, and if not, you know, that's okay too. It ain't going to happen any more than I'm going to get in shape by going, I'm thinking about going to the gym. I read a book on going to the gym. I watched a video on exercises about going to the gym. But it doesn't work until I commit to go to the gym. And you can read books on prophecy. You can hear people talk on prophecy. You can get prophesied too. You can have somebody stand next to you and help you prophesy. But until you get in there and do the stuff, it is not going to happen. I got to be here not because I'm a fabulously gifted prophetic person. I got to be here because I prophesied to thousands of people. Some of it was good, some of it was bad, some of it was spectacular, a few of them were spectacularly bad. Oh, you laugh. I'm going to tell one of them somewhere along the line, and it was spectacularly bad. It won't work unless you commit to it. But God says he rewards those who diligently seek him. What are you looking for? You want to have a Sunday come to meeting kind of relationship where you just come on Sunday and it feels good and then you come home and then you come back the next week and it feels good? Or do you want to have something that changes people's lives wherever you go? So you learn how to do prophecy in the church. It really hits the road meaningful when you take it outside the church. Anywhere. So I'm riding back or to somewhere today. I've been in like three taxi cabs today or some trips back and forth. One of the guys starts talking to me. He says, oh, well, where are you from? Blah, 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 blah. And we start talking about grandkids and kids. I said, God, he seems pretty open. The guy I had tonight was not open. I was happy he got me at the right place because he was ready to drop. I go, no, you know, you can't do that. I don't know where I am. You got to go down here further. The guy earlier today was talking. I go, hey, guy, you got something for him? He goes, well, what do you think? I go, well, I thought so because that's why I asked, but I want to check in and make sure. All going on in my head sounds the same. Didn't hear some big booming voice coming from outside the car. So I said, hey, why are you worried about your oldest grandson? pumps the brakes. He goes, "What?" I go, "Why are you worried about your oldest grandson?" He says, "How do you know about that?" I said, "Well, God told me I should ask you about it because you're worried about him." He goes, "What else did God tell you?" He said, "You did better with your son than you think you did. And because of that, your son's going to do okay with your grandson." He goes, "I should pay you for this ride." And he was serious. Now, isn't that more fun than sitting in the back playing video games? Just a thought. You can all prophesy. Book says so. But you gotta want it. Part of what I'm sharing with you tonight that I hope you get is this doesn't happen by accident. None of the gifts do. But since this is the one I'm here to talk about, and this is the one I do, and this makes my world go around, it doesn't happen because you show up and sit in church on Sunday. It doesn't happen because your quiet time is five Psalms, a proverb, and a little, you know, book. I'm not saying don't use those. But if you want to develop relationship with God to the place where you consistently are able to differentiate what's going on up here, is it me making this up or is it God, and being able to share with somebody, you're going to have to be diligent at it. But he will reward you. I've taught lots and lots of people to do this stuff. And mostly it's, okay, stand in front of this person and tell them what God says. It's kind of like going to the gym and get on this thing and lift this thing and push this way and no, it's better this way and all that. You just got to get in and do it. I know this isn't rocket science, but there's no magic bullet. There's no special way to make this thing happen. It's a commitment to say, I will do what God says I should desire to do, especially this gift. But if you do, he will show up. He will reward you in ways. Unbelievable stuff. I have so many stories because God showed up. I was just trying to go, okay, God, make something happen. Why is this guy talking to me about his kids? I don't know. But since he is, let's talk to him about God. He didn't accept Jesus because I asked if he wanted to. He goes, "No, I don't really do that religious stuff." Excuse me. I said, "Well, I don't do religious stuff either." He goes, "It sounds pretty religious." I go, no. Religion means you got to just follow a bunch of rules and do a bunch of stuff. What I do is I have a relationship with Jesus, and it's so cool. And he told me that's why I told you all that stuff. He goes, "Really?" I go, "Really?" People are funny around God stuff. They can fake religion because that's easy to fake. You just follow a bunch of rules. But when actual interaction starts, everything changes. So I got it all set up for the next person who gets them. This dude is so ready to accept Jesus. I have no idea where I was. That's it. Who said church couldn't be fun, right? Come on, if we're not having fun in church, then we need to just quit and go to the bar and watch rugby or something. You know, God can do such funny things. When did I start? Job 33:14. I don't think I've said that one. Most people tend to say, "God's not talking to me very much now. I'm in the desert. I haven't heard from God in 7 months or 7 years or whatever." nonsense. Job 33:14 says God is talking. First one way and then another. You're not perceiving it. When I experience, and I don't very often now, I've gotten over that verse. When I experience God being quiet, I know where to look for the problem. Right here. Because he's talking and I'm not listening. I'm not hearing what I want to hear or the way I want to hear it. I'm not focused enough. You know what it's like to talk to somebody and they're on their phone, they're drinking coffee, they're talking to other people or something. You know what that's like. And God says, I'm God. I don't have to play this game. I'll keep talking, but I'm not going to do it your way. He's not being spiteful. He loves relationship with you so much, he will even risk offending you in order to get your attention so that you can connect heart to heart. Again, parents, you've never sent your kids to their room so they could have a little attitude adjustment so that they could come out and really connect with the family, right? We aren't doing that because we hate them. We want them to be here. We just don't want them to be demonized when they're there. Take you, your attitude, and all your friends, go to your room, figure it out, and when you're ready to come back, and God says, hey, I don't play fourth fiddle in this dialogue. I love you so much, I get first. He's always talking. Look at it again. Nope, I'm not on that one. Go back to that one. The lights are too high, or I'm too tall, or they're too short, or something. God does speak one way or another, and we don't perceive it. But he's talking to you. Now, you can take that as being a rebuke. What that says to me is an encouragement to say, I can press in, I can find it, because he's talking. I'm not hearing it right now, but he's talking. It's not like he shut me out. He's not like going, okay, you know, well, you had your little time. You heard the word from me now, so I'm gone for like 3 weeks. No, not at all. He said, if you're not hearing it, he's talking, we're not perceiving it. You've read the book, right? We've read the Bible. Anybody read the Bible, right? Have you seen how much God wants to talk? He talks all the time. He's got lots to say. And we're not perceiving it. When you start to train to learn how to do this and practice this in your house churches, he's got something to say to the people you're going to talk to. It's an issue, are we perceiving it or not? Did somebody figure out when I started? 7:40. And it's 2014 now. So I have 25 minutes left. I probably better speed this up. So you asked me, how do I know it's God? My answer to you is, you don't have a guarantee. But I have a question for you. Why wouldn't this thing be God? If I come up to Nate and ask him a question like, what was the name of that song you did? What's he going to do? He's going to answer me, right? Hey, he is a nice guy. He's going to answer me, right? Come on, play along. Yes. Thank you. He's going to answer me. If I ask God, what do you want to say to this person? He's going to answer me. He's going to answer you. How do you know it's God? Well, you don't. You don't have a guarantee. But why wouldn't it be God? He's the one who said, especially prophesy, desire spiritual gifts, go out and tell other people about how awesome Jesus is. Why wouldn't this next thought be God? Sure, there's ways to test it. You know, 1 Thessalonians 15:19 to 21, you can look at it. Yeah, you test everything, you hold on to what's good. How do you test it? Does this thought sound like Jesus? Does it sound like something that Jesus would say? Is it consistent with what the whole counsel of the Bible says? Does it sound like what God's character is? Does it sound like 1 Corinthians 14:3? Nice words from God. If you got that, why wouldn't this be God? See, we have spent so much time unbelieving that God actually wants to talk to us. What if we took all that effort and said, I'm going to choose to believe God's going to do what he said he was going to do? No, but I'm really working on my unbelief over here. I don't think God would talk to me. You don't know how bad we are. I don't know how bad you are. But God seen it all, and he still says, but I'll show up for you. I prophesied to people, and I was having a really bad day. I had God interrupt me from having a bad day one time, said to me, can you stop for just a second? You know, I'm like complaining, God, it's really difficult, and I've had a hard day. He said, can you just stop for a second? Okay, you're God, so I got to stop, right? You know, I'm not stupid. I don't want to get, like, struck down by lightning or something. Okay, fine. What is it, God? He says, see that woman on the bench over there? Yeah. Go over and tell her husband's coming back. And I go, are you kidding me? I'm not having a good day. I can't do this. God says, do you see anybody else around here? I'm so slow. I'm looking around trying to find somebody else who could maybe go over there and do that. There was nobody. I go over there and I go, hi. And she goes, hi. Oh, my ears here, but I know you don't know me, but I just felt like God really wanted me to share this with you. Okay, what? It's really difficult for you right now with what's going on with your husband. She goes, have you talked to him? I go, no, I haven't. God asked me to come over and tell you your husband's coming back, and he'll be back this year. Bursts into tears. She goes, oh, I was just praying to God, saying, God, what am I going to do? And then you showed up. I can't tell you how grateful I am. I go back, sit down on my bench, and I'm still in a bad mood. Man, if God will use me in that kind of a thing, he'll use you. You want to hear the rest of the story? Yeah. I'm having lunch on my bench a year later. I hear this scream from across the quad in the park. This woman comes running at me. I'm going, oh my God, what's wrong with her? I hope she didn't have a gun. I'm so discerning sometimes. It's just painful. She comes up to me and goes, you don't know me, or you don't remember me. I go, you're right, I don't. Can I help you? She said, you already did. A year ago, you came over and told me that God said my husband was coming back. And last weekend, we renewed our vows. How bad of a day do you have before God can't use you? I mean, he took a donkey to Balaam, for crying out loud. None of you have ears long enough to be a donkey. Are you willing to believe God said to every one of you, you can prophesy. You can share God's heart with other people. Okay, must hurry up because Pastor Sam asked me to demonstrate some of this stuff. Okay, I said that one. Why wouldn't it be God? Why wouldn't it be God? I assume it is. Because why wouldn't it be God? So how does God speak? Excuse me. The most consistent way that God speaks to people is through this. It could be a thought. It could be a feeling. It could be an emotion. It could be just a word that he drops into your remembrance or whatever. But most of it comes through here. There are other ways I'm going to talk about them, but the majority of the way that you will hear from God is up here, and that's why I started with this thing. It's going to sound like you, but it's going to be really good or really scary. Like, go talk to that woman over there. No. About what? Are you kidding me? Do you know how stupid I will look if it's wrong? Hey, Rob, do you know how spectacular it's going to be for her if it's right? Oh, yeah, I was kind of focusing on me, wasn't I? Okay, look, I'm not excited about this. I want you to know, God, I'm not excited about this, but I will go do this because I've said no to God, and I know what it feels like when he's disappointed. I'm going to talk about it more on Sunday, but it's about our heart relationship with him that drives a prophetic that works well. One of the best compliments I get, and I don't get it a lot, and that's okay, and if you guys come up and you're faking it, I will know. When somebody looks at me after I've given them a prophetic word and they say, this isn't in my notes either, that sounded like Jesus talked to me, I can live on that thing for months. Because it's about carrying heart. It's not about getting words right. Astrologers can do this. Demons can tell them what to say. But we got the real deal. But we'll do it if we've got heart that resonates with God's heart. Okay. I gave you a couple examples that popped into my mind that those are kind of spectacular kind of things. They're pretty distinct words of knowledge, but it doesn't have to be that way. A couple of months ago, one of the women in our church who's got a huge evangelism gift, but she's kind of new at doing this, so her approach to evangelism basically is assault people with verbiage until they accept Jesus. But it's her gift, and people accept Jesus. I don't know. It's kind of embarrassing to me, but then I don't have that. That's not one of my strong gifts. Like I said, if I don't get a word, I'm probably not going to help anybody know Jesus. Anyway, she says, I'm meeting this woman, and I can't seem to kind of get through to her. I want you to come. So I come, and she talks for a little while, and then I put my hand on her arm and said, just a second. So I said to her, Miriam was her name. I said, Miriam, what do you want out of today? And she goes and talks for a while, and I'm sitting here kind of listening to her, but I'm going, God, any time now, give me something to say. So she talks and talks, and, you know, poor old Chole is like ready to just pounce. But she gave me the thing, and so she said, okay. So this lady, Miriam, gets done talking, and I'm sitting there, and it's almost an uncomfortable silence. It was probably about 30 seconds or something. But, you know, when you're sitting there with people and they're talking about all this stuff, it feels like about 3.5 hours. For Chole, it was about 3.5 days. But we're sitting there, and God says, tell her it's not her fault. No context. I have no idea what I'm talking about. We're sitting in this bakery. People all around, I said, Miriam, God says it's not your fault. And she exploded in tears. Everybody's looking at, it's okay. She, you know, she finally gets it together. I mean, like 2 or 3 minutes of just sobbing in this bakery. She gets it together enough to go, that had to be God. How can I meet Jesus? I don't know how that works. But see, you can get a word from God that does no context for you, don't know what it's applied to or anything else. You don't have to get, you know, that your husband left and he's coming back in a year or whatever. You don't have to get that stuff. And normally, I don't get that. That was an attention getter. Most of the time, we're saying stuff that we don't know what it is, and it's none of our business. I don't know why she did that. I don't know if she got beat when she was a kid. I don't know if she walked out of 3 marriages. I don't know if she stole money or whatever. But God said, tell her, it's not your fault. And it unlocked everything in her heart. She goes, I want to meet Jesus. About a month and a half later, I'm waiting for Mary to get her hair done. Because, God, do you guys have to take so long? Really? You look awesome, but wow. So I'm sitting in a coffee shop waiting for Mary, and I'm just drinking my coffee, kind of minding my own business. Miriam walks in with a friend of hers. She says, "That's the guy." And I'm going, "Oh God, now what?" I'm so full of faith sometimes, it's just painful. She comes over. You want to know a setup? She comes over. Her friend is standing here. She comes around to the other side of the table, puts her arm on my shoulder and says, "You need to get him to pray for you to do what God did in me. When he prayed for me, that's when it changed. You need him to pray for you." Now, I'm not the quickest person, you know, to pick up on things. Couldn't you lead somebody to Jesus with that introduction? So her friend came to know Jesus too. Out of a phrase that just said, "It's not your fault. Look, if you'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. God is not a respecter of persons. I'm just an accountant, for crying out loud. We just, you know, like, we got to get our columns right, and I've got to balance and all that kind of stuff." Although, for those of you who know about accounting, you deferred another category. A little creativity there. Well, who wants a word? Come on. Just so you know, that's the last time I'm asking, because the next time you'd all be running up here. Okay, here's the thought that I got. This is just the thought. Oh, you know what would be better? I'll give you the word, and then I'll tell you the thought that triggered the whole thing. I'll do that. You getting it from them or from me? You getting it from them or from me? Turn around and look at me. I've known Matt almost as long as I've known P. Sam. And if any of you get the fortune of working with him or under him in this church, jump on it, because he is a jewel. And that's not even the word. That's just me. Yeah, well, once in a while I can be pretty nice. It's hard, though. God, Matt says, "You're going to like what's coming." No, really, you're going to like what's coming. You do things really, really well. You're really focused when you need to be. And you're learning how to let go of things when they need to be let go of a little bit. And God wants you to know, look at me, you passed the test. I'll tell you, tomorrow, part of prophetic ministry is you carry Kleenex. I'm serious. I was somewhere recently, and we did all this stuff, and you know how they bring you the gift baskets when you're staying overnight, and they put like 4 packs of Kleenex in there so I could carry them around. I got 2 of them in my bag right now. You passed the test. You've been going, "I don't know, God," and he says, "Yeah, he did." And what that does is it's qualifying you to step into some things that have been on your heart that you haven't been able to reach yet. You haven't been released. You haven't felt like you've got the yes from God. Son, he says yes. Yeah. If that fit for anybody else, you can have that too, because Holy Spirit, seriously, because Holy Spirit's real good with that. You know, he's not like limited to one person, like nobody else can have this thing. The thought I had was, I'm proud of him. That's the thought I had. I had nothing else to start with. Because see, it takes no faith if I'm reading the teleprompter. Prophecy happens because I have faith that God's going to show up and tell me something. And it maybe gives me a word or a feeling or something to start with. He's not going to give you the whole thing. How much faith does that take to read a script? Zero. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You get some phrase, you get some thought, and off you go. Wasn't that cool? We can all do it. Just do it another 250 times or something. It gets better. After the first 1,000, you know, it really starts to feel slightly comfortable. You laugh, but how many of you know it took you 100 times going to the gym to even use the weights the right way to work the muscles you're trying to work on the machine? Couldn't we do the same kind of commitment to doing something for God? I am so behind. Another way God speaks to us is through the Bible. But it is not the open and point method. Do you know what I mean with that? You open the thing up, you go, boom, like that. I don't know, maybe it works for you, but I got 3 of them that I've landed on before. I just wanted to test it out because I'd heard people say this. I don't do that. That sounds like magic or some other thing to me. Story of a guy. He was desperate to hear God. Please, God, talk to me. Opens the thing up, bam, lands on 1 Corinthians 10:5. God was not pleased with them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. He's going, oh, that's not good. Close it up. Okay, another try, God. Romans 1:24. And God gave them over to their sinful desires in their heart. No, God, that's not right. Some of you know what's coming next, right? Opened up one more time. And Judas went out and hanged himself. It's not at all about just open and point. That's at best happenstance. It might be witchcraft or somewhere in between. But when God says this verse, because I've spent time in the Word, you've spent time in the Word, you know where things are. When he takes you to a place, you read a verse, maybe you underlined it. It was something, the now word of God that talks to you about, this is meaningful for me right now. I can go back there and get more. When you get that verse and he says, go here to that, and then he talks to you. Voice up here, sounds like you, but he says it really, really smart, really, really meaningful, really, really applicable. He can talk to you through the Bible. Because the testing of what we get as prophetic people is about in line with the Bible. So of course he's going to talk out of it sometimes. But you hear, God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to read? I'm not going to go hunting. You tell me where, because I don't want to end up hanging myself, because God said so. See, the Word of God is living and active. I was in India one time, and I was like tired of India. I'd been there 2 weeks, and I prophesied to a bunch of people, and it was hot, and I was tired. And we got up and we had one more thing. We were going to some kind of a leadership meeting for YWAM. And we go in there and we're on the way and I'm going, God, I got less than nothing. Can you have less than nothing? I have a leak. It's not even staying in. So, and I couldn't hear. I was tired and everything else. So I go, okay, where do you want me to look? And he says, Psalm 24. The exact, you're like, so good, man. The thing he was singing is the verse that I've got in my notes. It's in my notes. It really is. I can't show it to you, but it's in my notes. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? He was clean hands and pure heart. That one. So I'm sitting in front of it. I get this first person. She's the associate leader of this whole group, which is overseeing, you know, ministry of hundreds of people in this whole area. I'm going, I want to go home. But God, I'm here for something. He says, tell her the verse you were reading in the Bible. today, on the way, trying to get something. Tell her that. So, you know, I'm like here just like digging in the basement, trying to get something from God to get me okay enough to do something. He says, read to her that verse. I said, well, I feel like God wants you to know that your verse for today is Psalm 24, 3 and 4. She goes, oh, there's no way. Okay? Should I read it to you? She goes, oh, no. I memorized that verse. That is my favorite verse in the Bible. And I have to tell you what this means to me. I came to this meeting today. I've been over here in India the last 6 months, and it's been horrible. I came to this meeting today, and I said, if you do not speak to me today, God, in a way that hits my heart, I'm going home. I'm just trying to get something to get it together enough to get through one more meeting so I can get on a plane and come home. I look at a verse that God just pops into my mind, and I tell it to her, and it's her life verse that she says, if you don't do it today, I'm out of here. How good of a God do you serve? I got one that's really, really smart. 2 years later, I went back. She came and found me, and she says, I am back here because of what God did through you. Them stories are fun. Okay, we got to do this quick. You three ladies, stand up. How does God speak through the Bible? Do you know Psalm 23:1? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay? That's the verse I got, okay? Just came to my mind. God is so good, he'll customize the verse to fit each one of them. So you're all going to get the same verse. Psalm 23:1. What's your name? Louder so I can hear it. That'll. Now we get to see how good God really is, because boy, whatever anointing you're just like, phew. No, it's not it, because I carry the anointing. I am the anointing. I got smeared with this stuff. That's what the Bible says. Got a lot of decisions coming up. God wants you to know, I am your shepherd. I'm going to direct you through these things, the places where you've been worried about, am I going to do it right? Am I going to get it right? What if I pick the wrong thing? I'm not really sure. All those thoughts, that ends tonight, because your shepherd is going to direct you. Amen? That meant something. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not be in lack. God is going to change your vocabulary from I hope so to I will. Amen. Told you need Kleenex. Because you've been living in this place of, I think God is good. I believe he's good for other people. I don't know if he's good for me. And God says, I am changing your vocabulary now that says, he will, not I wish it would happen. Amen. Go back through your journals. You journal, right? Something else about your journal. Your journal's going to change. It's going to be a lot more two-way than it has been so far. Your journals are pretty much one-way right now, where you kind of tell God a lot of things, and he likes to hear it, but he wants to share in your journal, and it's going to start to change. But go back through your journal and look at some of the things where you said to God, I really hope, but that word kind of means wish more than hope. I really wish this would happen. And he says, I'm changing the wish to a yes. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in lack. You've grown up in a family with a mindset that says we just got to get by. We'll probably have just enough, but, and it isn't just finances. It's in emotional resources. It's an affirmation. You have such a gift of being able to affirm other people. And it never came out in your family because it was never put into you and modeled for you. Are you a house church leader? Whoever is her house church leader, make sure this woman gets affirmation for the next 3 months or so, because there's a shift coming from lack to abundance. And God's doing that for you. Thank you, guys. Awesome. I've reached my time. Can I have 5 more minutes to do this, like, really, really fast, or 10 or something? Y'all okay? Otherwise, you're going to have to come at 2 o'clock, and I'll go, remember where we were last night? Okay, here's where we go. Off we go. Another way God speaks is audible voice of the Lord. Oh, all this is in Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. God does speak audibly. He doesn't speak audibly very much. From what I can tell from the Bible, I'm not even sure I want him to. That seems like a very scary proposition. I think I'm going to stick with this thing up here. Feels a little safer to me. But he does speak audibly from time to time with people. We had a woman get saved out of, like, I don't know if you'd call it a cult, but she's from Iran, and they have a lot of, you know, mystics and fortune tellers and stuff like that. She got saved out of that, and God delivered her when she got saved, which is really handy because then I don't have to do it afterwards, or somebody else has to do it afterwards. She got delivered. And so the next Sunday she comes in, and she starts crying in the middle of my sermon. So I go up afterwards, I go, what did God say to you? And he goes, God didn't say anything. Jesus was standing next to you, and I saw him when you were preaching, and he said, listen to what he's got to say. I'm going, are you kidding? No, wait, I can't say that. But I did. I said, are you? Well, wait, stop. I can't say that, because this new Christian, she just, you know, I don't want to plant doubt and unbelief in this woman who's like, she's so open, she's able to see Jesus. God does speak audibly. I can't demonstrate it. I ain't God, you know, but he does speak that way. There's plenty of biblical examples. I'm going to trust you'll go find them, just so I get done on kind of sort of close to time. Another way God speaks is visions. Visions are just something that you see either out there, like the woman I just talked about, or it's in the picture that's in your mind, and you get some little picture or something. It may be symbolic. It may be literal. It could be either one. But it's just a mental picture, basically. You. Yeah, you. I know this isn't something that's really exciting, but would you mind just standing up so I can see a little bit better? Okay, I got a picture for you, and I'll tell you what the picture is afterwards, because a big part of getting pictures and stuff is interpreting what they are. The picture is to tell me, it might be meaningful for you, I don't know, but the picture is to tell me where to start to talk to her. There is coming a group of people in your life that will see you as cuddly, lovable, worthy of being hugged. They're going to want you around. And what that's going to do is it's going to restart everything about you. Where you've been really kind of slow and really, really careful, you're going to change gears, if I can use that term. You're going to shift from first gear to fourth gear. And you're going to see it happen this year. Because the shift is on. And what's really going to happen when people do that, it isn't just physical hugs. They're going to start to speak affirmations about who you are. You are not less than, you are more than. You are not just a nice person. You're a spectacular woman of God. And this time, it's going to go in. Because people have said that, but it hasn't gone in yet. It's going to go in this time. Amen? Okay. Here's the picture. This is not literally you, okay? I saw a little stuffed gray bunny with pink ears. That was the picture. Now, show up for the ministry class where you learn how to do ministry, and I'll tell you how you convert these things. Because I don't have time, because I'm late. A dream is a mental picture when you're asleep, so you need an interpretation from it. I will say this, though. Dreams are almost always symbolic. Sometimes people get literal stuff, but almost always. You want to write those things down and then give it to somebody who's really good at interpreting them. I would not be one of them. You give me a dream that's, because dreams are always like 3 pages long. You give me a dream that's 3 pages long, give me the short notes, and then I'll tell you what the interpretation is, but I can't work through that. But he does talk to it, and dreams are throughout the Bible. All kinds of things, warnings and encouragements and visions for what life's going to be. I can't demonstrate a dream tonight because then that means you would have to go to sleep and then wake up having had a dream. The last thing that's talked about in this passage is riddles or parables or some kind of activity that in and of itself doesn't mean anything, but God brings content to it. An example, I was somewhere praying for somebody. So this mom comes up to me, and she's pretty, like, assertive. Okay, she really got in my face and was like, go away, you know, like, take steps back. But she's really assertive, and she goes, you got to pray for my daughter. The daughter's standing back there. She's about 15 years old. And I'm looking like, oh, this poor little gal, she wants to get out of here so bad. And then I go, no, wait. She wants to get away from mom. That might have been that discerning of spirits thing you were talking about. Or maybe it's just because I'm old and I've seen a bunch of teenagers run away from their parents. I don't know. But because something really cool came out of it, I assume it was God. When good things happen, I assume it's God. When dumb things happen, I assume it's me. So this mom is in my face and I go, okay, I'll do that. If she will let me do it. Oh, she'll let you. I go. Stand over there. Come here. I'll call her Jane. Jane, come here for a second. Would you like me to pray for you? And she goes, well yeah, I would like that. I think you're safe. I'd like that. Okay. So, stay over there. But then God shows me she's been abused. And her heart is really damaged. Well, as a man, I'm not going to come up to a woman and put my hand on her heart. That's just like really big, all kinds of problems. You'll learn about that tomorrow in the prophetic etiquette part of tomorrow. Go ahead and laugh. But I'm real serious. If any person, any guy does that and I'm watching, you get to watch from the sidelines for about 3 months. It is not going to happen. So I go, okay, mom, I know you're really wanting to do this. Come over here and just, you know, put your hand on her heart. She comes up to him and goes, boom. And I go, oh, God, mom's the abuser. I go, mom, I changed my mind. This is how I'm going to do it, and this isn't for dialogue. You're going to go out, and I'm going to pray for your daughter. And I got somebody else who came over, prayed for her. God came so well, you know, got her free from you know, just this hatred thing that had been put on her and all this kind of stuff. It was fabulous. You know, and gave her instruction, you know, go to talk to your counselor, your father, somebody, you know, somebody you trust and help you through this thing. A riddle or a parable or dark speech. It was just a mom putting her hand on here, but the way she did it, God said, did you see that? And I go, I did. Does it mean what I think? And he goes, it does. God can use just normal stuff and bring content. One other person who wants a word. I don't know who won this little competition, so both of you stand up. You guys are kind of hooked together, friends or something? Yeah? Okay. Well, you can both have this. Oh, wait, but it'll be a little different, but I'm going to do it quick. And I'm going to tell you what I got before this time. The phrase I got, because see, I'm old, right? Remember? Rock Around the Clock. Does anybody even heard that song before? Oh, thank you, there's one. Okay, it's just a thing, it's just a song. But what I felt like God wanted to tell you was, life as a whole is gonna be more fun. You're gonna rock life. There's pieces that you've had that are really working good, there's pieces that aren't gonna. God says, I'm going to show you how to rock the pieces that aren't good, and it's still going to be good. Joy unspeakable and full of glory is going to be a watchword for you, because you are going to rock around the clock. You will be someone that everybody wants to be friend with, because you are a rock that won't be shaken, and you will not be shaken. You know how to go find a root in God. Okay, in Jesus' name, the thought that just came that says, I don't think I can do that, stops tonight. Because you can, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And you are going to become a rock for other people. They already come to you and talk, but now you're going to be something that they can hang on to, stand on, and depend upon to give counsel. In Jesus' name, I just bless you and release you with a gift of wisdom and counsel to speak hope, to discern things that are twisted in other people's hearts and minds. And you're going to be a rock for them that says, what you told me didn't shake. It's worked and worked and worked. Because, sisters, you're going to rock around the clock. Okay, my note says, check the time and don't go over 1 hour. So I've already failed. God, I thank you for this amazing group of people. I thank you that you're coming to individuals and saying, yeah, I can do that too. That's for me too. I'm going to believe that word that says, you can all prophesy. Amen. And God, I ask that you would give a willingness to be diligent to pursue until there's breakthrough. I thank you, God, that this community is going to be known outside of these walls as men and women who know how to hear God's voice, bring a message of hope, encouragement, restoration, recovery, and introduce people to Jesus because they've had an encounter with Jesus. That the whole outreach is going to change, because it isn't about convincing somebody they should serve Jesus. It's letting them know how they can continually have encounters with Jesus. I bless the prophetic spirit that rests on this congregation, and I say more, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You guys were fabulous.